Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, I want to talk to you for just a little while tonight. Verse 41, the Bible said, and this is Jesus speaking. You'll notice that it's in red if you have one of those Bibles that has Jesus' words in red. Verse 41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if we love them which love you, if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute the brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Our Father, as we come to you tonight, I thank you for the word of God. That you have given us, that, Lord, we can use for our counsel, for our guidance, for our direction, for our understanding. I ask you now that you would anoint these lips of clay and use me, that I might preach the word of God in this service tonight in a way that would be pleasing to you. Open the hearts and the ears of these hearers that they might hear the word of God, respond to the word of God, and honor it in their life. And we'll glorify you and we'll praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' blessed name that we ask it. Amen and amen. Now, if I were to have a text tonight, or if I were to have a title to this message, I would have to call it Living in the Second Mile. Verse 41 said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, or go with him two. Now, I want you to listen for just a minute in your spiritual ear tonight as we hear a loud command, and put yourself back in the time that Jesus was walking upon this earth. And you hear, maybe you're in the marketplace, or maybe you're somewhere in the city, and you hear this loud command, and the voice of this soldier as he says, Jew, carry my backpack. And you look that direction and you see what was seen a lot in that day. And that was a Roman soldier who had a burden to carry, commanding a Jewish man to carry that burden. And the Jewish man, as you look at this scene, begins to plead with him. And he said, sir, I'm on my way to work and I'm going to be late, or I need to go there, or you're going the wrong direction. I was going this way and you're going that way. But the Roman soldier says to him again, Jew, carry my backpack. And this time he pulls his sword out. That would make most of us angry, would it not? It would make most of us sad. But I want to tell you something tonight. That was the situation at that time. You see, about 10 years or about a decade or so before Jesus actually ministered in this area and made this statement, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I can almost see that young Jewish man, or that Jewish man, as after his argument was depleted and he huffed and he puffed and he took that Roman soldier's burden and he began to carry it and he began to obey his orders, because that was the law. You see, the Roman Senate had passed a law that read like this. In any conquered province within the Roman Empire, a soldier may compel able-bodied men to bear their burden 1 mile. Now you think about that for a minute. And what it says is this: if that Roman soldier come in here, he was carrying a burden and he decided he wanted Carlos to carry it, he had the authority of the law behind him to tell that man to carry his burden. And that's where Jesus came, when he came with this verse that says, when a man compels you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Now, here's what the situation was. The Jews were very angry about this law. They did not appreciate it. They did not respect it. As a matter of fact, they hated the Romans for it. But the problem was that they were compelled to do it. But I want you to know, the law said that they had to carry it 1 mile and not a step farther. Now, the way they knew that it was a mile is they had mile markers, just like we have on our interstates today. And a mile back then, I think, was 1,000 steps. So I can see that Jewish man as he's got that Roman soldier's burden on his shoulder, and he's counting 1 and 2. And but when he got to 999, he was taking her loose, because he wasn't going to go 1,001. He was going to stop at that mile. We see an instance of this, and I call it forced employment, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. You remember when Jesus was on the way to the cross, or on the way to Golgotha carrying his cross, and the Bible teaches us that they chose one Simon, a Cyrenian, and compelled him to carry Jesus' cross under the same law. That's where it was. That's the reason they could do that. And Simon, who was coming out of the country, they just took him out of the crowd and said, hey, get over here and get under this cross and carry. If the Roman soldier saw a Jewish man or a Jewish boy, he was allowed to do that. And I want you to know, it was very infuriating to the Jews. But I want us to focus tonight on verse 41 and look at what Jesus said. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2. And I want us to think about this thought tonight, living in the second mile. Not the first mile, the second mile. You see, even in our modern vernacular, how many of you have been at work or seen a commercial on TV? This phrase, go the second mile, has even come into our modern vernacular, and we use that phrase or that statement today. It's found its way here. But no one lives in a world where they like to be forced to do other people's work. Is that not right? I mean, I don't like to be forced to do somebody else's job, and I'm sure that you don't. But Jesus said, the law here that I told you about covered the Roman soldier and the Jewish man. But Jesus didn't say, if a soldier compels you to go a mile, go with him 2. He said, whosoever. Look at what it says, verse 41. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2. I've lived long enough and been observing people long enough that I have discovered something in life. All successful people are second mile people. Have you noticed that? If you run into people that are willing to work hard enough just to get by, people that do enough just to get by, you'll notice those people are always working for somebody else. The man or woman that's successful in this world, even in the world system, is that man or that woman that's willing to go the second mile. When everybody else gets off at 4:30, they're willing to stay till 7:30, 8 o'clock. You notice most large companies who have very intelligent CEOs and people that run their companies, those people work 14, 16 hours a day. They go the second mile. Second mile people are successful people. First mile people are those people that just do what they have to do. At the end of the first mile, at the end of that 1,000th step, they take the burden off and they're ready to go. And they're ready to be free and they're ready to go party or whatever is on their mind. But they're not interested in that second mile. They want to do just enough to get by. If you haven't discovered this yet, most of you should have, but maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know this. Christianity is a second mile religion. Did you know that? There's some things that you should know about the Christian life. The first mile is crowded. There's a lot of people around in the first mile because most of them are waiting to get to that 1,000 step and they're out of here. But that second mile, I want you to tell you, that's not busy at all. Because just after you take that 1,000th and first step, everybody's gone. In that second mile, there's not a big crowd. The first mile, it's congested, and you're bumping elbow to elbow with everybody. But in the second mile, it's not well-traveled at all. Why is that? The reason is, to love your neighbor, that's the first mile. To love your enemy, that's the second mile. To love them that love you, that's the first mile. We can handle that pretty well. But to love them that don't love you, and as a matter of fact, those that despitefully use you and talk against you and run you down against and talk against you to other people, it's a little harder to love them. That's second mile. Amen? To pray for those who pray for you, that's not a problem. But to pray for that person that you know has an odd against you and is trying to destroy you, that's the second mile. That's not the first. And Jesus said, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Be willing to go that second mile. Them that bless you, that's first mile. You can handle that. To bless them that curse you, that's second mile. And although this law was for the Roman soldier, Jesus said, whosoever shall compel you to go, go with him. Walk with him. Carry his burden with him. So Christianity is a second mile religion. Our Lord taught us that. Not only is it a second mile religion, but Jesus teaches us to live in that second mile. How did he do that? By his life. You think about it. When they brought the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery and they demanded from Jesus that she be stoned because the law said that she be stoned, what did he say to them? He said, let you, whoever among you that is without sin, cast the first stone. Compassion. On people that actually wanted to commit a murder and destroy a woman, Jesus demonstrated by living in the second mile his love and his compassion for a woman who had, and the Bible said, caught in the very act of adultery, had broken the Jewish law. What about Zacchaeus, tax collector? Look at who he called as his apostles or his disciples. Going the second mile. He had to go the second and third with Peter. I'm absolutely convinced of that. Maybe even the fourth at times. But by his life, and by his willingness to associate and heal and touch lepers and blind men and the downtrodden and the outcast in the community where he was at, he demonstrated with his life the ability to live in that second mile. And that's what Christianity is all about. Not only did he demonstrate it with his life, but he demonstrated it with his teachings. All of his teachings, if you'll study the teachings of Jesus and what he counseled for you and I to do and what he counseled you and I to be, it was all second mile teaching. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. I got into trouble with this years ago. In the book of Acts, there's a scripture. And we in America are, I'm going to try to say this and be really nice about it. We are a greedy, selfish people. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we are. But in the book of Acts, there is a scripture where the Bible teaches us that the early church was a church that worshiped and praised God, and they went from house to house worshiping and praising God, and they had all things common. The Bible says that. It's in the book of Acts. I got up in the pulpit 30 years ago and I said, you know what? What the Bible is really teaching is what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours, and it shouldn't bother me to go over your house and get something if I need it, because you and I are brothers and sisters, right? Boy, most people don't like that idea at all. What's mine is mine, and you leave it alone. I got it under lock and key. And this is the first time I brought it up since then. I want you to know that. I was accosted at the back door over that little scripture. But it's in the Bible, is it not, Brother Fisher? How can we go the second mile with those that don't know the Lord if we can't even go the second mile with our brothers and sisters? The scripture is full of people who went that second mile. Abraham, who left family and friends with no roadmap when God said, I want you to get up and get out of your country and go to a far country. Abraham went the second mile. The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You have to be able to believe God if you're going to go that second mile. As the song said, when you put your hand in God's hand, you don't need to understand. You don't need to ask why. If you're willing to go that second mile, you just need to obey the Lord. Abraham walked with God. He was obedient to God. Abraham was a second mile Christian. Enoch, the Bible said, walked with God and was not, for God took him. How close do you have to be with God for God to just come down and say, Enoch's my friend and I'm taking him home? Noah, can you imagine Noah? It had never rained on the earth before. God says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. What's a boat? He's out in the desert. Noah, for 120 years, built on that boat and preached, judgment's coming. Everybody laughed at him. Everybody ridiculed him. Everybody talked about him. Noah was a second mile Christian. Noah obeyed God and he walked with God and he did what God told him to do, and he faced all the ridicule and all the persecution and all that came at him and all that those people come at him with. He faced it, he took it, he accepted it, and he just trusted God and built the boat. And we know the end result. Elijah, who confronted the prophets of Baal, was a second mile Christian. Jeremiah, who stood weeping in the dungeon and wouldn't even give up on God when he was in the dungeon and he was weeping, was a second mile Christian. I told you the first mile is crowded. That second one, you don't have a bit of trouble. Moses, who gave up a life of wealth and acclaim in Egypt to be a child of God and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. David, who with blood on his hands from committing, first of all, adultery and then murder, stood before God with blood on his hands. And David, the Bible said, became a man after God's own heart, a second mile Christian. So all of us qualify. Peter, who came back from denying the Lord, preached on the day of Pentecost, second mile Christian. Paul was a man who lived the life of a Pharisee. He even said, I am a Pharisee of a Pharisee. His father was Pharisee. He was Pharisee. Paul, who was living the sacrificial life of the Pharisees, when God called him Paul responded to that call and became a second mile Christian. Walking in the second mile is not as easy as walking in the first mile. You see, the second mile is that sacrificial mile. The second mile is that mile where you sacrifice. You don't just go the first mile. You're required to do that. But Jesus said, he that compels you to go a mile, go with him too. That second mile is a sacrificial mile on your part. You're not compelled to take that second mile. You do it by choice. Second mile is that committed mile. You see, a lot of people, the reason that we don't have as many people in church on Sunday night as we do Sunday morning is because those that are here on Sunday morning are not committed to the second mile. They feel like that one service a week is all they need. That's first mile Christianity. Commitment comes in that second mile. The second mile is not only your sacrificial mile and not only your commitment mile, but that second mile is where you're going to receive your breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is a sudden burst of the power of God that propels you through a line of Satan's defense. When the devil is attacking you and coming against you on every hand and stopped your Social Security, as the sister said, and is attacking you on every side. And Bruce even brought it up financially and otherwise. Folk, when you're in that second mile, that's your breakthrough mile. Why do you think she said she's going to give 20%? She's going into that second mile. Second mile is your sowing of a seed mile. Second mile is your destiny mile. People who are walking in the first mile rarely find out what their destiny is in God. Rarely find out what their purpose is in God, because they're content to do what they're required to do, but they're not willing to go a step farther than that first mile. Like those Jewish men, boy, when they got to that thousandth step, they wanted to get that load off. But Jesus said, whosoever compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Second mile is your deliverance mile. That's where deliverance comes in your life. Second mile is your birthing mile. For a church, until we are willing to go beyond just assembling ourselves together and worshiping God and praising Him, until we're willing to take that second mile and go out into the community and reach out into the highways and the hedges and the byways and invite them in and bring them in. Bible said, go out and compel them to come in. He didn't mean go out and take a gun and hold it to their head and bring them in. He said, go witness to them and urge them. Until we're willing to go the second mile, we're not going to birth a whole lot of converts. Birthing comes in that second mile. Comes when we're willing to reach out into the community and touch the community. It's one thing to come to church and worship God. It's another thing to go into the community and witness for the Lord. The second mile is the healing mile. Because when you're in that second mile, that's where you touch God and God touches you and He heals you and He delivers you. The second mile is that mile in which you get set free. We sing that song. It said, I'm free, free, free. I'm free from the shackles. Help me, Bert. Dropping the shackles comes in that second mile, not in the first one, but in the second one. Jesus said, and whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. I'm convinced that more souls will be saved if we live in that second mile. Jesus went the second mile for us. What does it mean to live in the second mile? It means to rise above the instinctive desire to strike back when someone does you wrong. to rise above that instinctive desire to get even, to settle the score, to meet evil with good, means you're living in that second mile. You see, our natural man wants to retaliate. When somebody does me wrong, I want to get back at them. I want to get even with them. But when you get into the second mile, you can do what Jesus said. Pray for your enemies. Bless them that despitefully use you. You'll never do that in the first mile. It takes that second mile. Living in the second mile means to swallow your pride and abandon your self-interest and say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You do what you want to with me, and if you don't ever let me get any glory out of it, that's fine, because I want to serve you. That's second mile living. Means to be slow to anger and quick to forget. Means to live by grace in the face of an unfair world in which we live. How many of you know this world's unfair? How many of you know people are going to do you wrong? I assure you, if you haven't met one in the last day or two, you'll meet one tomorrow that's going to get you. Amen? Jesus went much farther than the second mile for you. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. John 15 and verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he will lay down his life for his brothers or his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ walked the second mile. He went the first mile when he did what was required of him. What was required of him was that he left heaven, clothed himself in human flesh, walked among us, and yet was not contaminated by our sin. He was obedient to his Father. That was his first mile. But he then went the second mile as he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there the Bible said he prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood, and he was in agony, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And God's will was done, and Jesus walked that second mile from Gethsemane to the cross of Calvary on Golgotha's hill and hung there between heaven and earth on that second mile. He said, it is finished. He took the second mile. He went all the way by his demonstration, by his teaching, by his life, by his commitment. Jesus taught us to walk in that second mile. And that's why he could counsel us here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41 when he said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. The second mile, walking and living in the second mile. The sister said a few minutes ago, how close is his coming? How committed are we? Amen, sister. Loretta said she saw the beautiful cloud tonight, and her thought was, what if Jesus appears in that cloud? Are we ready to stand before God? You see, the Bible teaches me that there'll come a time when you and I will stand before God. You know, we always teach the judgment of the sinner because we know his destination. He's going to be with the devil, who's going to be cast into the lake of fire. But the Bible teaches a white throne judgment where you and I, as God's children, are going to stand before him and give an account of every deed done in our body. Are we walking in the second mile where the traveling is not that crowded? Or are we still in the first mile, bumping elbows with all the others that are still in the first mile? Jesus said, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus said, whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain.